844 AM 930 WEOL. I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Matt Douglas.
And we have on this line with us Scott Petrak joining us this morning from the Chronicle Telegram. Covers the Browns, also brownszone.com and at Scott Petrak. No matter where you are, you can always find out what Scott's thinking about the Browns game. What were some of your key takeaways during the game? Were you sending out to the fans as far as tweeting or getting a message out yesterday?
Well, I think one of the big ones was the failures around the goal line. You know, the Browns had the early 6-0 lead. Then they get back down to the 1-yard line, had a chance to make it 13-0 or 14-0. And they ran 7 plays from the 1, hit one play from the 2, and couldn't get in. Then they got down there again in the second quarter and got to the 1, lost a couple yards, and had to settle for a field goal. And you thought that was going to be come back to haunt them, you know. And then they fall behind in the fourth quarter. And then Baker puts together a fourth quarter drive, a winning drive, which he hadn't done this season. Makes a big throw to Jarvis Landry. Rashard Higgins, who's been the forgotten man pretty much all season, makes his only catch of the day on the 7-yard winning touchdown. And then they get a little luck, you know. The Seahawks kicker misses a field goal that could have forced overtime. Missed a shorter one earlier. So it felt like one of those games where they played a lot of close games where the breaks didn't go their way or they didn't make a play when they had to. And yesterday they were able to overcome the bad breaks and then finally make a couple plays at the end.
That early series where they had a lot, was it 8, 7? I keep saying different attempts, you know, within the...
Yeah, 8 from inside the 2.
Right. At what point would you have decided to kick a field goal? Or is there sort of a stubbornness, or is there a fact that, hey, we haven't done good in the red zone, we need to score because of blah, 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 as opposed to getting points on the board?
Right. Well, that's interesting because that first series, you know, I would have kept going for it. They threw to Odell, and Odell Beckham Jr. drew 2 pass interferences in the end zone. So that extended it. And then the final play was 4th and goal from the 1. And to me, that's close enough. I would have gone for it there. I understand going. However, when they got back down there in the second quarter, and they lost 2 yards on 2nd down, and then they tried to run a shovel pass, and it fell incomplete. All of a sudden, it's 4th and goal from the 3. And that's asking too much. To me, there's a world of difference between the 1 and the 3. And I would have kicked a field goal. And I thought Coach Freddie Kitchens, was still fuming from the first failed attempt in the first quarter because he kept his offense out there. And I thought that was a terrible idea. I thought he had bailed out because right tackle Chris Hubbard got called for a false start. And all of a sudden, it was 4th and goal from the 8. And Freddie had no choice but to kick the field goal. Austin Seibert makes it, and it winds up being the difference in the game. So I do think Freddie got too stubborn and was trying to kind of make up for what had gone wrong earlier and actually gone wrong all season in the red zone and even in Denver, wound up costing him the game. And I think that Chris Hubbard penalty was a blessing in disguise. You know, might have saved Freddie a win, and who knows, maybe saved his job if depending on how the rest of the season plays out.
That's exactly what I thought watching that. When he jumped, I actually cheered. I thought, well, good. Now they'll kick the field goal and they'll get those points in there.
So a penalty is a good thing. Finally, something that we know how to do well has come to be a positive for us.
I mean, that's the thing. They only had 4 penalties yesterday, which is way down from their season average. And yeah, I think the one was huge. Now, obviously, they could have scored a touchdown. Wouldn't even know how that would have played out. But I did not like everything surrounding that, how poorly they had done, and just I didn't like what I perceived to be Freddie's mindset in that situation.
What about the defense in yesterday's game? I thought it was kind of a fascinating little stat they threw out there. I didn't realize Josh Allen had led the most late comebacks in games this season. Was that a product of our defense playing a decent game, or are the Bills' offense, is it that good?
Well, I thought the defense had its moments. You know, they gave up the late. I think the Bills took the lead with 5:26 left. Mm-hmm. So that's a late touchdown they allowed. However, they got a strip sack or a strip of Josh Allen, and then the ball bounces forward for a 10-yard gain, and an offensive lineman recovers on the 1. I mean, there's a little bit about it. The Browns, it might have been a lot easier, or would have been a lot easier if you know, Demaryius Randle had been able to keep the bouncing ball instead of their lineman getting it. I thought they did a better job against the run. I'm not sure why Buffalo didn't try to run it more than they did, because the Browns have been so bad against the run, but the Browns were competent against the run yesterday. I thought in some big moments they were able to get pressure on Josh Allen and force him into a quick throw, and that's not where he's best. He's best sitting in the pocket, standing tall and firing, you know, those deep in routes, which he did a couple times yesterday. And then, you know, if the guy makes a field goal at the end, you blame the defense. Oh, my gosh, all they need to do is keep him out of field goal range. But the guy missed it, so you look at it as if, you know what, they stopped him at the 36-yard line or 35-yard line, made him kick a 53-yarder, and that counts as a win. So, you know, I think there's good and bad, but I thought overall the defense played better. And the fact is they got two stops on fourth down, and they held him to the long field goal at the end. And that's a sign of progress, because for so many times this year, when the moments have been the biggest, the Browns defense hasn't been able to come up.
Is this a quality win? I mean, the Bills came into this game 6-2, but it always had that feeling that the Browns were at home. They should be able to get this victory. And one of the Bills' losses to the Patriots, who have only lost one game to this point, too. So is this a quality win, or are we a little deceived by that record?
Well, here's what I'll tell you. Every win's a quality win in this league, and I get a little frustrated when people dismiss victories. You know, all of a sudden, you know, everybody's counting Miami as a guaranteed win. All of a sudden, Miami's won two in a row. So, you know, there's nothing taken for granted in this league. When people tried to discount Buffalo 6-2 because of who they've beaten, I say, hey, at least they beat those teams, right? The Browns lost to a Broncos team that was 2-6, you know. They lost to a Titans team that then went on a bad run, but then beat a good Kansas City team yesterday. It's really a difficult league to figure out. And if you can win a game, you win a game, and you celebrate that win. So, you know, the Browns are about 2.5-point favorites. They won by 3. That's probably how it should have played out. So, yeah, I don't think you can discount this win, especially how poorly the Browns had played. They'd lost 4 in a row. They hadn't won at home. This counts as a quality win. And now they need to back it up, because I think you start to feel differently about this team. And I'm not saying they're going to make a run and win the Final 8 and go to the playoffs. But I think you can start to think differently about this team if they can back up the Buffalo win Thursday night against Pittsburgh at home. All of a sudden it'll be 2 in a row, which they haven't done this year. You get a little break because you have the mini bye because it's a Thursday night game. You get to 4-6, and you can start to kind of look at where other teams are in the AFC, where the Browns fit, look at the rest of the schedule and see if they can make what would really be a miraculous run, you know, after starting the season 2-6.
Scott Patrick of the Chronicle Telegram and BrownZone.com joining us. You mentioned about the schedule. Here we are already into the middle of November, sort of, and we've only had one from the AFC North. I mean, we have everybody within our division here. We got to be, you know, we'll be playing, so we have opportunities to make some moves within that.
Correct, and I think that's one of the – I know that's one of the things the Browns coaches and players are clinging to. That when they say all our goals are still in front of us, they look at 5 more games inside the AFC North. You know, there's still 4 games behind the Ravens, so they only play the Ravens once. So they're going to need help. But they do get Pittsburgh twice, and Pittsburgh's, whatever, 5-4, so Pittsburgh's 2 games ahead of them. So they can – overtake Pittsburgh. They get the 2 games against winless Cincinnati. So, to a degree, it's all there in front of them. You know, if they sweep the AFC North, when we talk about maybe a Browns thing, you know, if all the stuff that's happened to the Browns, can you imagine they sweep the AFC North, which they've never done? I'm not even sure they've gone 4-2 inside the AFC North. But what if they swept the AFC North and still don't go to the playoffs? That would be something that would be impossible to fathom going into the year, but there's a scenario where that happens. They sweep the AFC North, you know, they get to whatever, 8 or 9 wins and somehow don't make the playoffs. But again, I think they need to beat a really good Pittsburgh team, or a red hot Pittsburgh team. It's 1-4 in a row. I think they need to beat them Thursday night before we can start talking about those big goals, because as of now, this is a team that's 3-6, has not strung anything together, has not really played a complete game since that Baltimore game in week 4. I just need to see more proof that this team is ready to live up to its talent and turn things around.
Speaking of talent, Kareem Hunt there. Now with Nick Chubb, you have these two running backs. Looked pretty good yesterday.
Well, we knew Nick Chubb was, we knew Kareem Hunt was a really good player. I did not know that he would have that kind of impact and look back to normal in his first game in nearly a year. Right? He hadn't played since November 19th with Kansas City. So I was amazed at how well he fit in. I liked how the coaching staff used he and Nick Chubb together. Both of them are unselfish. That's one of the things Freddie Kitchens continues to talk about. They're not afraid to block for each other. You saw Kareem Hunt as a lead blocker. You saw him as a receiver. You saw him as a runner. And he's just so natural as a receiver that as long as these two guys are together in Cleveland, you know, and Kareem Hunt is a restricted free agent at the end of the year, but as long as it's two guys are together, teams are going to – it's going to give teams nightmares. It's going to give teams trouble because – they're just so talented, and you can do so much with them. And it's different than Odell Beckham Jr., right? Odell Beckham, you can kind of take him away if you put a safety over the top. And his impact is downfield, and you need a good throw from Baker, and you need the right coverage. With two running backs, you can get him the ball behind the line of scrimmage. You can throw short passes to him. It's a lot harder for defenses to take those guys away. And I think these two guys are going to be a focal point of the offense moving forward. And that is one of the reasons you could see this team getting on a run as we get deeper into the season.
Does Baker wake up and think, I'm going to wear my Bigfoot T-shirt in the post-game press conference tomorrow? Or what? Where does some of that those clothing, those options come from? Any idea?
Hey, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if he has some kind of clothing deal that I don't know about. But he makes some interesting decisions about what he's going to wear, what kind of facial hair he's going to go with. It's interesting. And if Baker, Baker doesn't spend a whole lot of time just chatting with reporters, but that is one thing I would like to chat with them about.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your time, Scott, and we'll be keeping following you. Scott Petrek on Twitter, also brownzone.com. Thanks for your time this morning, Scott. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrek of the Chronicle-Telegram joining us.